Amen. Psalm 105, verse 1. A very simple message tonight, close to my heart. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Switch over to Psalm 111, verse 2. Psalm 111:2. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your wonderful works, Lord. Really, that's why we're here, to show what you have done in these villages in the Arctic. And Lord, there's still four more villages that need churches built and started in them. And we're looking forward to some more wondrous works that you can do. But tonight, Lord, the wondrous work I need is for you to help me, Lord, tonight, and hide me behind the cross of Christ. We sang some great songs and great service and a great spirit here, Lord. We need you to continue that and open hearts to the truth of the Word of God and its simplicity. And Lord, just guide and direct everything that's said and done for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the reasons God gave us the Bible is to show us what he has done from Genesis to Revelation, what he's going to do. And that's really coming back on furlough is all about, is to show you what God has accomplished. And always remember one thing. I know I have to be up here and show you and never tell you what has gone on, but it's never been me or Darianne in any of this. It's always been God. God is the one that does the work. And I've said many times before, you know, our only claim to fame is that we were there. You know what? We just, when God said, that's what I want, where I want you to go, we said, okay, we'll go. And we were allowed to see miracle after miracle that God has done in every one of those churches and in the people, the Eskimo people that were saved and are there now. And I can't express or explain ever the wonders that God has done there. I'd be here all night telling stories, and I know I can't do that. Let's go to Psalm 106 real quick. Because one of Israel's problems was they could see miracles be done, and then they'd forget about them, and they'd go, they'd just mess up again. And we read it, and we say, "What? How can they do that after what they saw God done, and especially coming out of Egypt?" Psalm 106, let's pick it up in verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. That's why we get saved. You and I are saved tonight. If you're saved tonight, you're saved so that God's mighty power may be seen by others through you and through me. That's the power of God. It's not anything else but our transformed lives. That's what shows the power of God. Anybody can be religious, anybody can say anything, but when they see a transformed life, nobody can say nothing about that. That's the miracle of God. Verse 9, he rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies, there was not one of them left. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. That's the disease of Christianity today. It's called leanness of soul in the Bible. No more love for missions, no more love for God, taking God for granted, asking things only for themselves and not for anybody else, selfishness, pride, envy, all these things that they got, as these people got, God gave them their request, but the burden and the excitement and the wonders of God in their lives ceased. They envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram, and a fire was kindled in their company, and the flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Pretty sad testimony. And you know, that was their greatest problem, was they'd forget the things that God had done. And you know, the worst thing, and the thing that the devil wants in your life and in mine, is for us to go through life forgetting what he has done for us and forgetting the things that the miracles and the answers to prayer and the things that he has accomplished in our lives, and just go on and be angry and envy and bitter, which is usually what happens when we do that. It's a very dangerous thing to lose the wonder of God in our lives. You know what we do? They got murmured against Moses and against Aaron like it was their fault. It wasn't Moses and Aaron. It was God. God is the one that got them out of there, and God is the one that was bringing them through the wilderness, and they kept blaming everybody else and lost the vision of what God had wanted for them. So let's remember right now, look at Psalm 40 verse 1, and I'm going to get moving here. Psalm 40 verse 1. The first thing that you and I need to remember is the wonder of salvation. 40 verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. That should be every one of our testimonies. But we forget. I'll never forget, you know, I'm Italian Roman Catholic, you know, got saved there in Rochester, and I thank God for Brother Jim Ferris. Brother Jim lived a couple blocks away from us, and they had Jericho Sunday, or the Jericho Project. I don't know what they called it, but they went around their block and put tracks on the doors for 7 days. And then the eighth day, they went down and knocked on the door and visited everybody. And that's what they did to us. And we got the tracks. We're Roman Catholic. You know, we were searching for the truth, too. We were watching all the TV ministries. We got a Bible from the S&H Green Stamp store. How many remember S&H Green Stamps? Okay, that shows you how old I am, okay? Anyways, that was back before Jimmy Carter, amen, when gas was 35 cents a gallon. I know nobody can believe that, but that's what it was. Anyways, that's why you don't want a Democrat in there now. The gas will be $10 a gallon. No, which I'm not going to say nothing else about that. Anyways, we slammed the door in his face and said, we're Catholic, man. We're one true church of God. We're Catholic, you know. But then, you know, we started to think about it, and he came back again. And the next time he came back, we opened that door and let him in, and he showed us from the Word of God, answered every one of our questions like that. And finally, I was working second shift at Lincoln Bank then. He was working for Kodak, naturally. And He said, well, why don't you let my daughter come over and babysit for your kids? We had three boys then. And he said, why don't you come over to our house and we can talk more about it, answer your question. And I said, okay. So we did. And that day, Darianne got saved. Every question we had about Mary, confession, communion, the priest, the pope, everything. Everything was answered out of the Word of God. And we had to make that decision, which everybody has to, but especially a Roman Catholic. We made the decision, are we going to go with the church and the pope, or are we going to go with the Bible? And we said, we're going with the Bible. And so I got saved a couple weeks later, and Brother Ferris was very very patient with us, and we didn't go to church right away, you know, but eventually God worked things, a situation. You know, David said, he said, thy gentleness hath made thee great, made me great. And God was gentle with us. And, you know, Brother Ferris was very patient. He was on deputation to go to the Navajo Indians then. And he came by when he could. And my Darianne's brother, Barry was married to my cousin in Syracuse, and they came over to church, and he came over and was took time out of being the short time he was home to go over and talk to us and everything. And to make a long story short, finally we decided we got to give up this Catholic church and we got to go to First Bible because we had been there a few times visiting. And so he was on deputations. We called the church and said, we want to come and join the church. They said, well, have you been saved? And I said, yeah, Jim Ferriss saved us. And she said, well, Jesus saved you. You know, so I said, well, I know that. You know. Anyways, so she said, you got to come make a public profession and get baptized and join the church. So that morning, there were some obstacles that came up at my job and everything, but we determined that we were going to be there, and we were, and we made a public profession that morning. And Mrs. Ferriss was in the nursery that morning. And, of course, we got baptized that night. But that morning, he was gone, and she heard Pastor Miles say on the loudspeaker, Nick and Darian Serino came forward for church membership and baptism. And she came running through the... Because she said... she was crying. She said, I can't believe you guys came. She says, you know what? We prayed for you every day at dinner. And I kept telling Jim, they're never going to get saved. They're Catholic. We're never going to see them. And then there we were. And that was just a miracle of God. And never forget where you came from. I look back. I'm still amazed. God moved us from Syracuse to Rochester. We got saved. And God put us in the right church with the right book, with the right school to go to. And then this missionary comes by named Dave Bickish and wrecked my whole life, okay? But God's, the wonders of God, amen? The wonders of God. And I never dreamed that God would get us to where we are, to see the Arctic, be where, there's people in this country don't even know that place exists, you know that? They have no idea that there's a North Slope in the state of Alaska that's where it's not accessible by anything but air, where there's little villages where people are living and hunting whales and walrus just like in the old days. And yet God has put us there and allowed us to see churches started, Eskimos saved, Eskimos trained to preach. And I still can't, you know, in the flesh, I still can't believe it, you know. I mean, I'm like David. But David said, who am I, O Lord my God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? I mean, who am I? I mean, I'm the least likely to be a missionary to the Arctic as you've ever seen in your life. I mean, Brother Dutton and Brother Buckley and Tony Ross were there. They were three were supposed to be called to the Arctic, you know, and we'd have these little fellowship get-togethers, you know, at somebody's house, you know, and me and Darian would go there, and they're talking about, you know, loading your own ammo and hunting and the different calibers they're using and everything, you know, and you got to be able to fly a plane and fix a snow machine and build a house, and you got to know how to do this and know how to do that, and I said, man, I don't know how to do nothing. Me and Darian go sit in the corner, you know. I said, I worked at a bank. I mean, I don't know how to do nothing. You know, I didn't have a snow machine. I didn't know how to build anything. And I told Bickish one time, I said, you know, brother, I don't know how to do all that stuff. He goes, you just learn your Bible, learn how to preach, and God will take care of the rest. So I did. And God did. When I got up there, I got me an old Eskimo guy to take me hunting. We went hunting together, and I got a caribou, you got a caribou. And then he showed me how he gutted his out, and I gutted mine the same way. I do the same thing now. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but that's the way I do it, amen? And, you know, people worry about that. You know, the Bible says, faithful is he that calls you who also will do it. You know what people worry about in the Arctic? Eating muktuk. I mean, come on. I mean, that's the least of your problems. And they worry about the weather. How can you live in that weather? That's the least of your problems. And all those things that everybody worries about are just minute when it comes to reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every mission field has their good points and bad points. We're just still looking for the good points of the Arctic, okay? But it's always been God. I know. I think of miracles. I think of Pat Gresson. Some of you might know Pat. He worked with me at the bank, and I used to have a book. I knew he was a bookworm. I was his supervisor, and he was always reading books. So I was running a machine, which he was not supposed to do. But anyways, I'm a nice guy. And so I put this book on, you know, 666 Salem Kurban. I don't know if some of you remember that. And had it on my desk because he had to go by my desk to go into the machine room. And I'd have it on there, and I knew it was catching his eye, you know, and he kept going by there. And finally he said one time, he said, hey, Nick, can I borrow that book? I said, sure, go ahead, take it, you know. So he started reading it, and he started asking questions. And so I said, why don't you come to church? You know, you can hear the real thing, you know, and everything. And so it took a while, but finally he came to church. And that poor guy, I mean, I worked midnight. And after I get out of work, I'd go there at the four corners of the big Lincoln Tower and everything there, and right in the middle of Rochester. And those people would be 15, 20 people waiting for the bus. I'd be out there screaming, street preaching out there every morning after I got out of work. And my bosses would come by, you know, and I said, one of these people, I'll think I'm crazy, you know. And then we'd get out Saturday morning, and he'd be the only one on the bus stop. And I'd be out there preaching, and he'd be the only one there. And I'm screaming at him, you know, you're going to burn in hell and everything. But anyways, he told me later, I thought you were crazy. And so he came to church. To make a long story short, he came over to our house and we brought him to church. And he ends up getting saved. He got saved and he went down. The first time he was in church, he was, you know, I said, you know, because they gave the invitation and I knew he's thinking about it. I said, you want to go up? He says, no, I'm not ready yet. And then he came with us next Sunday, and he said, I'm ready. And up he went to the altar and got saved. Went to Bible Institute, married one of the girls there at First Bible. And, of course, he's home with the Lord right now. He had a heart attack and went home to be with the Lord. But, you know, God, to see him grow, to see him married and his kids and everything, what a blessing. What a blessing. That's God. That's just God. And it's exciting. But the wonder of salvation, the wonder of God's call to the ministry. Like I said, faithful is he that calls you, also will do it. And I remember Bickish coming through one time, and he said, I was sick. We were on deputation in 82, and he said, I remember it was 83 by then. Okay, whatever. And when you get to be my age, you don't remember. What's the difference? Amen. This is a long time ago. And he came through and he said, so what are you doing, Sereno? And I said, we're on deputation. I said, my wife's going to have another baby. She's going to have the baby this winter. And then we're going to go up in the springtime to get more support and everything, you know. He says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Barrow, largest Eskimo village in the world. He said, I've been to Barrow. It's going to cost you $100,000 to get in there. And he was right, you know, but who am I? I mean, we were going to conquer the Arctic, you know. That's all there was to it. You know, I'm not listening to nobody. And he said, well, listen, Serena, you know you're going to mess up when you go up there. And I said, if you're going to mess up, there's no sense messing up in the biggest center up there. You might as well mess up in a smaller village. That way it's not so bad. And I said, well, that makes sense. I said, Wainwright's only 90 miles away. He said, well, why don't you start there? And I said, okay, that sounds like the Holy Spirit to me. Amen. So that's where we went. And he was right. You know, if you're going to go there, you can learn the culture, learn the climate, learn the people, and then you can go on to the big village. We had two churches started before I ended up in Barrow. And then he said, so how much support you got? I said, I got $1,600 a month. And he said, well, what are you doing here? I said, well, you know, I got my wife, they own a baby. So they have babies in Fairbanks all the time. So you need to get up to Fairbanks, and then you can stay there and get used to the weather and everything, and then go up as soon as you can. He said, you know what you need to do, Sereno? And you had to know Dave Bickish to know him. He said, you need to go up there and get your family up there and freeze and starve and learn how to be a real missionary like my family had to freeze and starve and learn how to be real missionaries. That's okay. Canceled all my meetings and took a flight up to Fairbanks. And that was the start of the whole ministry from then on. And we didn't starve. We did freeze, but we didn't starve. Amen. God took care of us. That's where I met Pastor Duffett, who's our pastor now up there, members out of the church in Fairbanks. And God just took everything else and worked all the miracles all the way through. But all the things that, you know, things that you worry about and everything, God just takes care of all that stuff. And putting Brother Dutton in the Point Lay ministry, Brother Carlson in the Wainwright ministry, which opened the door for us to go into Barrow and get in that house, and everything that happened was all because of the wonders of God. And God just, you know what? God just allowing us to be where he wanted us to be. Protecting us through all the stuff. And I'm not going to give you all the stories. But, you know, going whaling. I've been out whaling and hauling muck-tuck back on the back of the sled 25 miles from town. And, you know, just falling asleep doing it 3 days straight. Because once they cut up a whale, they don't stop till they're done. And so I'm on the whaling crew, so I'm just going out there. And I got, you know, this big, long block of whale muck tuck on the back of my sled, and I'm falling asleep on the snow machine. So I said, well, I'm just going to pull off to the side and just put my feet up and take a nap, you know. And so all of a sudden, about an hour later, I hear this, you know, buzz come up there, and somebody said, "Sarita, what are you doing?" I said, "So I'm tired. I can't keep my eyes open. You know, I'm falling asleep at the steering or the handlebars, you know." And he said, "Well, you know, you're out, there's polar bears all over the place. You're sitting out here with a blob of muck tuck they can smell 6 miles away, and this is, you're falling asleep?" And he said, "Where's your rifle?" I said, "I didn't bring no rifle." He said, "What, are you crazy?" God's protection, amen. That's why you got to pray for us. You never know what kind of mess I'm getting myself into. That first church we got, I was trying to thaw out the fuel line on that thing and underneath the building with a blowtorch. And it's not recommended, okay? But my son Derek was out there, and he was on the 55-gallon drum with the fuel out coming out there. And I said, "Just keep it open. And when I hear that thing thaw out, it's going to come." You know, and I had it unhooked from the stove, and so, or the, you would call heater. And so I'm under there, and all of a sudden I can hear it gurgling, you know. And I said, "Okay." And so all of a sudden, that stuff came shooting out of that 3/8-inch copper pipe and all the way up. And I still got the blowtorch on. And I hurry up. I told him, I said, "Turn it off, turn it off." He's turning it off. And my gloves are on fire. And there's a big pool of fire over here behind the thing. And I said, "Oh, no." So I grabbed my gloves, threw them in a coffee can. I went out, threw everything outside, and came running back. And I said, "Oh, no, I know it's going to be burning down." You know, we have a fire department there. It has one 2,000-gallon tanker, and that's it. There's no plugs. There's nowhere to get water from. It's got 2,000 gallons. And if they can't put the fire out in 2,000 gallons, it ain't going to get out. Amen? And, of course, it'll take them an hour to get it over there anyway, even though it's only 30 yards away, you know. So, but, you know, I said, "Oh, no, I'm going to have to write back and tell all the churches that this new building we just paid $20,000 for. I'm burning it down here, you know." When I went in there, just this little pool, this little fire right there, and the stove oil is all the way down to the pulpit and everything, and I just stamped that out with my boots and got on my face and say, "Oh, thank God I don't have to write a new prayer letter saying we don't have a church anymore." Amen. I mean, the blowtorches, heat guns are really good too, okay? That's for your car, snow machine carburetor. I mean, you call them snowmobiles here in Alaska. They're snow machines, okay? Same thing. And you know, get that heat gun out there. It'll heat that fuel up fast if you get all that ice gone. But anyways, just keep praying for us, amen. The soul saved, the victory of souls saved and baptized up there. And, you know, every time I look at those pictures, you know, this is, you know, Point Hope. We've been there 23 years. It's become, I don't want to say easy. It hasn't become easy, but it's become, we're starting to see more and more people and young people get saved and stay in church. And that is, it wasn't like that in Wainwright. It wasn't like that in Point Lay and Barrow. It was a little bit tougher, a little bit harder. We went three years in Barrow before anybody got saved. And I remember Fannie Mae Bodfish, and we were in Wainwright. She was a teenager, and she decided she wanted to come. I don't know why. She wrote us a little letter and said, "Can I come to church?" I said, "Well, sure, you can come to church." You know, she'd come, and there'd be my family and her, and that's it. And I'm preaching on hell, and I'm preaching on all these, young preachers, you know, as a young preacher, when you just get started preaching, you're preaching everything you can think of, but it all comes out on hell, you know. So, and she's sitting there going through all this, and she's just a little sweetheart, you know. And finally, after 6 months of hearing me preach, and she knows I'm preaching to her, I said, "Darianne, why don't you go see if she wants to get saved, you know?" So after church one day, she goes up there and said, "Fannie Mae, you want to get..." I mean, she came to our house every day after church. Every service, she was at our house for another hour playing games and stuff. Anyway, and so she says, "Do you want to get saved?" She goes, "Yeah." So she got saved that day and got baptized. Amen. You know. So I guess you have not because you ask not. Okay. The first people that got saved in Point Lay, I was so excited. They got saved in Point. People got saved in Point Lay, and then of course in Barrow, but. All these things, these are the wonders that God does and lets you get in on if you're faithful. Faithful is he that calls you also will do it. Don't ever lose the wonder of those things, your personal victories, your testimony, all those things. You know, people today, I mean, even in the teenagers, I get mad at them, you know, and, you know, you may be more spiritual than I am. I just get mad at them, okay? You see them in there and they're sitting there like this or... like that, you know. And they're, you know what they're saying? It's boring. This is boring. This is boring. In other words, they're home watching, you know, Jason X or one of those movies all day, or all, you know, this monster, that monster, or, you know, everything killing 1,000 people and video games all the time, you know. And I'm sitting there saying, you know why you're bored, don't you? It's because you've lost the wonder of what God has done. They're not reading their Bibles. Bible becomes boring. Church becomes boring. Prayer. Are you kidding? I mean, that boring. Missions conference. You know, we have a 2-day missions conference. You know, we really make people suffer. You know, two whole days. You know, and but the point is, you know what? I remember a preacher saying one time, the most boring service you ever seen in your life is a missions conference. Because if your heart ain't in tune with God's heartbeat of missions, then you're going to think that's the most boring thing in the world. People up there asking money and talking about places you don't care about, you know. And that's true. But if your heart is right like God's heart is, then you'll love a missions conference. Because that's the last thing Jesus told us to do, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, I told our people, we only got 15, 25 people coming to our church. And I said, listen, if we are not supporting missionaries out of this little church here, then we are not obeying God. That's the commandment of God, to go out in all the world and preach the gospel. So now we have 17 missionaries out of our church, and we gave over $40,000 to missions last year. And I said, I'm not going to let these people... Is this being recorded or anything? No. Okay, well, there's no way I can get out of this. Just don't ship it to Alaska. I'm not going to let these people, who are very selfish by nature, get away with seeing what God has done and not supporting missionaries around the rest of the world. And now that they've gotten a vision for missions, you can't stop them. They love it. They want to keep supporting missionaries. And the more, of course, last year we gave my son about $6,000 to help while Bella was in the hospital and everything. But normally our missions budgets are about $35,000 a year. And I mean, I'm excited. I can't believe it, because God is good. But that's a miracle. If you knew the Eskimo people like I know them, that's a real miracle. The reason people get bored with God and the Bible and church and giving, because they've lost the wonder of what God has done for them in their lives. And lastly, Psalm 50, verse 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. You know what the problem with Israel was? They forgot God. You know what happened to them? They got their nation torn in pieces by the Assyrians and the Babylonians, because they just could not remember the wonderful works that God had done for them. You know what people do? They get jealous of other Christians. Oh, look what God's doing for them. Look at me, I'm not doing this. They get jealous. They murmur, they complain. That's what happened to Israel. They got jealous of Moses and Aaron. They murmured, they complained, and bellyached about everything. And they get mad at God. But it wasn't God. I mean, it wasn't Moses. It was God. It was God doing all that. Salvation answers to prayer. It's never man. It's always God. You know, there's a wonder every time. You guys got a beautiful building here. This is really nice. And, you know, it's a wonder. I know you don't think like that, but it is. Anytime somebody can get a church built in New York State, brother, that's a miracle to me, okay? You guys got to get building permits and this and that. You know, when I want to build something in the Arctic, you know what I do? I just go out and build it. I don't ask nobody or tell nobody, because that's just asking for trouble. I just go do it once it's there. What are they going to do? They tried to stop us from building the church in Point Hope because, oh, you're on the wrong property. You're building it on the wrong property. That wasn't my fault. That's where they told me to build it. They said this was Brother Nash's property. And they said, no, that's wrong. It's across the street. Well, the building's half built, 28 by 52. And it's half built. And then they're telling me I got to move it. Are you crazy? I said, we're not going. So we had to get permission from all the elders, go around everybody's house, get the thing, and, you know, and finally they said, yeah, go ahead, you can finish it. You know, just have to lease it from the Eskimo Corporation, which we've been doing, and it's cost me exactly zero to lease that from the Eskimo Corporation for the last 22 years. Because they can't get it together. They can't. I said, just give me the thing to sign. They said, okay, we're going to lease it to you for $1 a year for 100 years. I said, okay, that's fine with me. Okay, just bring me the papers. I'll sign it. I went down there twice to sign the papers. I said, well, the guy's not here. You know, it's not. You know, this is the way it is. You know, so you know what I do about it? Forget it. You just forget it. I built my parsonage next door, and they said, you stay on your lot. So the church and the parsonage are on our lot that they gave us. And the hockey rink's on another lot, the garage is on another lot, and then we have another building on the back of the other lot. So we're taking three lots out of the one lot we're allowed. And I don't say nothing to nobody, and nobody says, everybody just gets mad, but they can't do anything because everything's already on. I said, there's a wonder done every time the doors of this church are open. And that book is open, the wonders begin. The problem is, the book is open, but people's hearts are not open. And you know what the people are going to do? They're going to do just like Eskimos do. They're going to do what they want, when they want, if they want. And nobody's going to tell them what to do, especially God. And until they get that out of their mind and surrender to God's will and God's book, and then they will never, ever remember the wonders that God has done. But I tell you, once they do, and they get a hold of God, their hearts change. When hearts change, lives change. When lives change, circumstances change, and God begins to do the wonders. One last thing I was telling preacher today. One of the guy that wanted me to start the church in Point Hope called me to, my son had just gotten out of the hospital. We'd just gotten back in Bear. We're going to be moving. And he said, could you come down to Point Hope and start a church there here? I'll help you. I believe God wants me to reach my people. I said, well, how can I turn that down, you know? And I didn't want to go to Point Hope because it's a crummy village as far as people are concerned. But, you know, I said, well, I can't stop. I got somebody who's going to help me, so we'll do it. And so we went down there, you know, and he went to our Bible Institute for 2 years. We helped me build the church. Me and him built that building. And so, you know, everything's going great. And obviously he said, well, I don't think I want to be a deacon anymore. I don't think I want to be in the Bible Institute anymore, you know, this and that. You know, I said, fine. I said, God needs good men in the church. That's fine. Just be faithful, you know. Well, after another year of his wife bellyaching about everything, they moved to Anchorage. And his life fell apart. They started drinking. They started they were fighting. Ended up in a divorce. The kids were wrecked. All of them were they were homeschooling their kids in Point Hope before all this happened. Now they're all messed up and everything. Comes back to me. They had divorced. He married another Eskimo girl from Noatak, another village. And he says, you know, comes back to me. She took everything he owned and went off to Nome and was shacking up with a bunch of people in some commune thing, you know, drinking and everything. You know, he didn't know where she was. Comes back to me and got back into the village, and he came over to see me with his rifle. And he said, brother, I'm going up to the point here and I'm going to blow my brains out. I got nothing left to live for. And he told me all the situation, you know. I said, you can't do that. I said, you want to do that? You know, I thought, I'm going to rip this out of here. So it's still working. Anyways, and I says, you can't do that. You know, you can't do that. So we prayed and everything. And he started telling me all his problems, you know. And they're old, you know. I mean, overdue alimony, didn't pay his taxes for 5 years. He's got a warrant out because he's got so many traffic violations. He lost his license. He's got fines he's got to pay. Got no job. He got no money. His wife's gone. You know, he doesn't know where she is. She's got all his papers, his important papers with her. And I says, man, if I was this guy, I'd probably... That's not a bad idea, you know, because I don't know what you're going to do, you know, but I didn't say that to him, you know. But I'm saying, man, what am I going to tell this guy, you know? So I just said, you know what you got to do, brother? You got to do right. That's the only thing I said, you got to do right. Read your Bible, be in church, do what's right, be praying, and I'll pray with you, and we'll see what God does. A couple of weeks later, he came back, says, I'm going back out to the point and blow my brains out again. I said, oh, wait a minute, you know. So we prayed again, and, you know, God, to make a long story short, his wife drunk herself, got herself drunk, went out and froze to death in a snowbank. Probably the best thing ever happened to him. So he came back to me, told me about that. I said, you're going to go to the funeral? We'll help you if you need to go to the funeral. He said, no, I ain't going to the funeral. And he had gotten a job and God began to work things out. So we'll just tackle these things one at a time, you know. And just one problem here, a problem here, a problem here. Let's call these people. And God began to work some things out for him. He got a good job. I mean, he was an accountant. He had a good job, and he's starting to do right. He was in church, being faithful. And it took 4 years. But finally, all those debts were gone, and everything was worked out, and God began to turn things around. And now that guy gives $250 a week to missions. That's above his tithe. And he ain't making close to that. And you know what God did? You know what, Brother Nash, you know what his testimony was? He knew the wonder that God had done for his life. I mean, he turned his life completely around from an absolute disaster to now where he is faithful and giving, and he loves to give, and he loves missions, and he leads our choir, he's a blessing, and all because he was thankful for what God had done for him. He didn't take it for granted like a lot of people do. He knew the wonders of God in his life. Did he pay the price? Sure. I mean, you reap what you sow. But he was willing to accept that if God would just do something to get him back to where he was. And what a blessing. Don't ever lose the wonder of God. Don't ever think it's you. Don't ever think it's me. It's always God. It's just that we have to be there in the place of God's blessing. What is that? It's doing what God wants you to do. All we wanted to do was go do what God wants. After I got saved, I said, I'm not going to hell. I'll do anything God wants me to do. And then Bickus shows up. I don't know if a missionary from Africa would have showed up. I'd probably be in Africa. Thank God I'm in the Arctic. Okay, I don't want to go to Africa. But I said, whatever he wants me to do, we'll do it. And God said, okay. And he began to show us the wonders that he can do if we just be faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Never forget the wonders of Almighty God in your life. Never take them for granted. Always be thankful, and you'll start to see what God can do. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God tonight and these faithful folks here. On a Wednesday night, the blessing this church is. And I know, Lord, this church has a heart for missions. It's obvious. I know they have a heart for you. But, Lord, maybe there's somebody that's kind of taken you for granted, forgotten some of the wonders that you've done in their lives. And, Lord, life's not great in a lot of ways. There's tragedy. There's heartaches. We've all been through that. It's part of life. But how we deal with that is what the world wants to see. How are these Christians going to deal with the same problems that they have? Well, we've got Jesus Christ. So help us, Lord, to maintain that testimony and help us never forget the wonders of a great and mighty God. Who am I, O Lord my God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto, David said. That should be our testimony. Thank you, Lord, for being a great God. Do your work tonight for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher.